Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
It is the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. It's the weekend. Man, we're midsummer. I hope you've had some great grilling experiences and are tuning in to see if we can just tweak something that you're doing in your backyard to create some grill envy. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and welcome to the smokiest show on the radio, the only barbecue show syndicated, especially in the nation. So you're either lucky or unlucky to be hearing us, but we're not sure.
We're only a button push away.
That's right, up to you to decide. Hey, if it's Saturday where you're listening, and it is here, but don't forget today at Fen Valley, they are having their wine festival, and I unfortunately can't make it down there because of my workload, but it's a fantastic thing. Jop and I went down there a few years back, and it's just a fun event, and I highly recommend you, if your spouse likes wine or thinks they might, I'd hit the road.
Southwest Michigan is where that's at, down by a little town called Fenville. So look it up on your GPS and head that way. You will not be disappointed. They got 40 varietals down there, all made right there at the winery, and it's a wonderful place to go. Love that place.
Yeah, there's a lot of food. They have bands. Right. The atmosphere is fantastic, so yeah. I highly recommend it. I have been living the life of torture with my pool. I had to trench 200 feet and put gas and electric in. Then, so I got everything up and running. And
Did it go out or the pump?
Just the electric. My underground electric went out. So I had to trench and bury new 220, 6-gauge, 3-strand, really cheap stuff to buy if you want to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I buried a gas line with it so I could put a heater on again. And then a couple days ago, my water's just not cleaning up, and I'm panicking because I'm really sick of working on this thing. Well, my impeller and my pump had been choked with chestnut shells because the stinking red squirrels and the chipmunks love eating all the chestnut that drop out of the tree right by the pool. So I told my wife this week, I said, that chestnut tree's going. She was not happy, but that is going.
Or the chipmunks.
Yeah.
You get yourself a little... Well, you got three cats out there. What are you doing with chipmunks?
Oh, they hunt back there all the time. Yeah. But you know, there's we're in the woods, man. It's a jungle, baby. But gee whiz, I told her that those trees are going. I'm done fighting with them.
Yeah.
And she takes enough trips that she really can't stop me.
Well, they'll be gone when she comes back. That's how that'll work.
That's exactly how it'll work. And you'll be there.
Right. Yeah. I know.
Because we need to hook a cable to it and tow it with Frank so that it doesn't crash on the pool house.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully Frank's got the hard top on that day.
Well, I said you'd be driving it, didn't I?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'm getting ready next weekend. Reed City Brewing Company, who was on last week, they're having their one-year anniversary, and I'll be up there in a town called Reed City, Michigan. They have it's where I went to high school. My dad worked for the state, so we lived in a bunch of towns. But I went to junior high and high school up there, and it's a wonderful little Mayberry-type town. Reed City Brewing Company is in a building that used to be Gino's Pizza, and that was where we hung out on Friday night when people would be cruising up and down the street. You'd go to Gino's to, like, watch all the cars.
Sure.
And we all had nice cars. It was ridiculous.
Right.
The 70s were crazy. If you missed it, you really missed something. Right. But so I'm going to be smoking butts and brisket, and I'm going to do crazy fries. And so we have a whole block shut down.
That's the 30th, right?
Yeah.
Not today, but a week from.
Yeah, a week from today. And we have the whole block shut down. So if you're listening on to the big talk or the classic rock 98.5 UPS up north or the Twister or even Wood, you can make it over to Reed City from 2 till the food runs out. And he's got like 3 bands coming in. The beer, honestly, this guy brews some beer that is just, you had a little taste last week.
But oh, yeah.
The dude has a gamut of beer that is fantastic. So it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I hope to see you. If you do come up, make sure you come up and say hi. I'd love to meet you.
Yeah, Barbecue Bob will be the guy that you can see his head through the smoke. The rest of him, he'll be
Big head Bob.
Yeah.
So you might stop up on your way up north because you're going up with the Sobeys. And
right.
The Sobeys told me they're going to stop in on their way up. So,
very good.
We'll have at least two customers.
Right, yeah.
You are not getting a free dinner either. Don't even hit me.
All right, I won't. I know better. You'll throw me an apron and say, you want to eat? Here you go,
you're going to work off your dinner if you want it.
Hey, speaking of that, I had a little fun last Saturday. It was Father's Day, right? My pop passed away, but Michelle's dad's still around. And so it's like, what do you get a guy who's got everything? He's 72 years old. He doesn't need a damn thing, right? So we came up with the idea. I went and bought a rack of ribs. I went and bought a brisket. I went and bought some pork butt, and I thawed out one of my rump roasts from my deer. Okay, so got all that stuff
prepped. Fired up the big smoker.
Got all that stuff prepped. Did my planning. Got it all together, and took him a meat smorgasbord for Father's Day. And I tell you what, that's one of the greatest gifts I've ever given anybody.
Nice.
And it was just really cool because he doesn't cook, right? I mean, he's a 70-year-old guy that his wife takes care of him.
Oh.
Right? And one of those. But it was just fun to watch him. I'm not tooting my own horn on my food. I'm just saying it was fun
to watch
him.
I'm sure it was great.
Because I made jerky out of the venison.
Oh, you didn't do any of it as a roast?
No. I cut it up in strips and marinated it the night before. So I made jerky out of the venison, the meatier kind, not the real thin. But
how'd that turn out?
You know what? I'm going to say a little better than average. My flavorings didn't hit it as hard as I thought they would. I tell you what, I went the easy route. I went and bought Lowry's marinades in a jug. And I cut it up in the little strips and put it in a Ziploc and left it overnight. It didn't take. The meat flavor came through much more than the marinade flavor did. But
don't blame Lowry's.
Right.
You took the easy way.
I did. And that's why I was saying is
and you have a website with all kinds of great jerky recipes.
I understand.
I can't believe you just said that over the airwaves.
Well, I'm just telling you, sometimes you take the route of the common man and it didn't work out. But I took him a rack of ribs and some pulled pork and some brisket.
You did pork ribs?
Yeah. Yep.
How'd those turn out?
Actually really good.
Nice.
That was the star of the show.
And how did you finish them?
I tell you what I did is I put a dry rub on them and let them cook a dry rub. I never wrapped them. We were at about 260 for the smoker for everything that was in there. They were on there 6 hours, and in the last hour, I put honey on them at about an hour left to cook, and then at about 15 minutes to cook, I put my apple barbecue sauce on top of the honey glaze that was there, and they were really good. A little bit sweet, but you got the apple flavor through it.
Right.
And I didn't use a heavy rub on them at all. It was more just a mild, little bit sweeter one, but he really loved them. And
right.
I
that's all that matters.
Right. And I made two racks in case one of them didn't turn out
did
right.
Did you do a brisket, you said,
what?
Too?
Yeah. Yep.
Holy
I
cow.
Did just the flat. All I did is the
he
flat.
He must have been just, and you left everything with him. So
yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
He ate good all week.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's just kind of fun, you know, and I thought, you know, there's a gift that there's, and again, I'm not tooting my own horn, but there's heart in that. You made it with your own hands. It isn't something I just went to the store and bought.
So by Wednesday, he was hitting the prune juice.
Yeah, probably.
Honey, I haven't had a good push.
Protein.
It's like deer camp.
Right.
5 weeks of meat.
Goodness. But anyway.
Yeah.
So that was my highlight of my cooking over the weekend. Was last weekend after we left the show.
Well, we are being produced by Brian Fonger, the wizard of the big board, who's here pushing all the buttons to make us sound better.
Right.
You can check us out on Facebook / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter, Grillin' Guy. Don't forget to thegrillinguys.com and check us out there.
Right. Coming up next, you know what? We're just going to talk about cooking with wood for the rest of the show. And we've got some ideas. And, you know, a lot of people don't do that. But stick with us. We'll be back.
This is
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
It's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, I hope you're out and getting your weekend started. If you're listening to this on Saturday morning, otherwise you better be well into it, because these summer weekends go fast. Holy crap, we're already near the end of June on this thing, and it seems like we, you know, earlier this week we were waking up to 49, 50 degrees still.
Yeah.
So we had this really warm snap, and then it's now back to Michigan reality. But
welcome to Michigan.
Yeah, I kind of like it, though. You know, I mean, I don't mind a cool morning, and that it gets much above 80. That's just not, I don't know. I just don't like it that hot.
It's hard to work outside.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
For those of you listening on the East Coast on the big WOND in Atlantic City, hit us up on Facebook and tell us what your weather's like out there, because that's a beautiful piece of shoreline you're on, and some of the recipes we've got coming up in a little bit are going to hit home for you. This thing's largely based on wood. I hauled another load of logs to the mill this week, which is always scary.
Yeah, what are you making now? I thought you were
You know, I've just got all this hickory and oak that I keep cutting down, and going to start milling it and stacking it and letting it air dry.
Yeah.
And then I hauled in my tops to Tontin Lumber, and they're milling them. Well, they probably have them done for me Monday or Tuesday, so that beautiful island you made for me, I'm going to finally have a top.
Cool.
That's not a steel case desktop.
Yeah, right. But it's functional at this point.
Yeah, it's going to. So I'm anxious to see a butcher block on there. And
yeah.
I'll either like it or I won't.
Well, it's the cool part.
If
it's not a permanent thing.
If Maureen doesn't like it, if I get your name for Christmas, you're getting a cutting board.
Right, yeah.
And maybe
and
three
if
of
I
them.
Get yours, maybe you'll get a quartz top for your island.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Yeah, so cooking with wood planks, Jop, what do you know about that?
Well, I've done a little bit of it. It's usually around fish for some reason. I don't know why, but my mind gravitates to fish when I go to
that's the most common
cooking with a plank. But, you know, I think you could probably use it for other things. But the fish is delicate, and it doesn't take direct heat well.
Well, and so, you don't have to flip it. That's the best part for
me. Yeah. Exactly. So can you go to the lumber yard and just buy a cedar shake
shingle?
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's where I was going.
Cheap.
Is that you don't need to go to the grocery store and buy one of these little four packs for $10.99, which has four little cedar planks in it, because, brother, cedar is cedar is cedar. Now, don't get something that's stained or pre-treated, but if you get a raw piece of cedar, a shake is perfect because it's thin enough that In your note here, Bob, that I see is that you want to bake it on both sides before
well,
you use
well,
it.
Well, you
right?
can. You can lightly toast it over the fire if you have a thicker piece. And like I'm thinking, if you're going to do steaks or pork chops are really good on them. But it's just another flavor profile you can add to it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to do it. It's just kind of fun to do things differently. You and I have done plenty. I know what your favorite cedar shake event was.
Sure, yeah. We were at Houghton Lake. That was a lot of fun. It's you know, this is part of, Bob will tell you, I mean, he's told, if you've listened for a while, I like the presentation as well as I like the actual taste itself. And we had a lot of fun with these cedar planks where we actually cut them in half and we put little fillets on them that were maybe 4 or 5 inches long.
Yeah.
Right? Salmon chunks.
1 pound chunks,
yeah,
maybe.
1 pound chunks, because we were going to be giving them away to people at this event. And it was in the middle of the winter. But the cool part was is they were coming off the grill when the salmon was done. The plank was burning.
On the edges that didn't have fish on it.
Right. So you had them in the tongs and you were pulling them off the grill and pushing them toward people in the air, and there's a flame coming off their food.
It's like bananas flambé.
Right, yeah. So, you know, you just give it a breath and blow out the flame, and then you ate this wonderful salmon, and the salmon wasn't burned. It was the edge of the board that was on fire. But yet you still got this nice cedar smoky taste. And when you get a soft flesh protein like fish, it takes smoke really well. But you don't want to overdo it, because you'll go from really tasty to bitter in a not too difference in time frame.
Yeah.
There.
I noticed when that happened, when you started serving it, all of a sudden you started speaking with like a French accent. So
yeah,
I'm not
right.
sure where that came from. But that was weird.
Yeah.
Keep a spray bottle around, which
yeah,
we didn't
go.
Know at the time.
Right.
This is a new addition to our notes. So if you do that, seriously, you might think of whatever flavor profile you're doing and get a spray bottle and pour a little real lemon juice in it with the water.
Yep.
So that you can add a little citrus to it, which might be a nice touch. Or you could put some cedar sap in there if you really want.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. But so when you do this, if you're doing, let's say you're doing fish, season your fish and then put some oil on it.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend the oil
right.
in particular. Now, I do it a little differently than you. I like to take if it's salmon or any fish, I like to take the skin off it so that cedar soaks through into the meat.
Right.
And I get grossed out by salmon on a plank if that white stuff forms. It looks like brains or whatever, that slime that comes out. And I like to cut the mud vein out of it anyway.
Well, sure. That's just prepping it before you cook it.
Being picky, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? There's a lot to be said about that, because it's the same way I was cutting up that roast. If you heard me talking in the last segment, I made a venison roast, and I made jerky out of it. But the reason that the jerky did turn out as well as it did, and it wasn't perfect, I get it, but is I took all the silver skin off, I cut all the tendons and the tissue that wasn't just muscle meat out of that thing, so you don't get that bite where you got to rip it in your mouth to get it chewed up, or you chew it for 3 minutes and you got a wad of crap in your mouth before you swallow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like that. And it's the prep.
Yeah.
The mud vein, same thing with a piece of salmon.
Yep.
You cut that out of there, are you going to lose a little flesh getting to it? Absolutely. But what's left is much better.
You know, I used to do that on venison, and I stopped after a while because I got lazy.
Yeah.
And I realized
it was a lot of work.
Well, it was. And then I started not doing that, and I noticed with venison, unlike beef, the venison jerky, some of that extra stuff in there seemed to almost change character, and it wasn't a big issue for me like I was anticipating it to be, and I felt like I was really wasting, because it's hard to take off.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I was wasting a lot of meat.
Yep.
So I quit doing that altogether, and I'd have to say, honestly, it turned out with venison pretty good. Now, with beef, I'm still going to carve a lot of that stuff off
right.
there, because that does not want to behave properly at all on jerky.
My tip there is a fillet knife that is very sharp, because basically what you're doing is that silver skin that's on there, or anything that you're trying to cut out of the piece of meat, beef or venison, you want precision, because if you don't, you're going to be wasting it. In a small, narrow tip knife, You can get in and do your work easily. But make sure it's the dull knife that cuts you. We've said this 100 times.
Yes.
Make sure your knife is as sharp as you can get it, yes, because your job will be a lot easier.
And have the motion going away from you, not at your gut.
Right.
Is that a good idea?
No sawing. So, you just push through stuff.
So let's say you're a bear hunter and you've got some bear meat in the freezer from last year. Great.
Give it to your neighbor.
No. Great time right now to get that stuff out and smoke it, because that makes awesome jerky. Real low and slow. Take a lot of time to really reduce that fat, because there's a lot of fat. And that can turn into some great, wonderful jerky for you.
Maybe I've never had that before, because I've never eaten a piece of bear that I thought is like, holy cow, that's great. I got to have another one. I've tried it a couple times, but maybe I'm eating it from the wrong guys.
A lot of people don't know how to prepare it, like with anything.
Right.
And let's get out of here.
All right. Clean up your act before you marinate. Maybe a little chicken, maybe a little beef. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
We live it, we love it, Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. Hey, you are listening to the Grilling Guys. Bob, you know, we've had that rap now for 5 years, and I grin every
time.
Seven. Has it been that long? But anyway, it's to me, it's still relevant. I hope our listeners feel like it is too, because it's uniquely Grilling Guy. I get a grin out of it every time we play it. But
the first time I heard it not being in Grand Rapids, I was driving through Kansas City, and I was streaming our station on my iHeart app.
Right.
And I'm cruising through Kansas City, and all of a sudden our rap comes on as a commercial. Sometimes we play it as a promo.
Right.
And it was so weird to be, you know, out of the state
right.
and hear that. But that's the beauty of Al Gore's internet.
Right. Yep.
Exactly. Hey, we didn't get a chance to do beef ribs on wood.
Oh.
But you did some pork ribs. So I would do a real quick little beef ribs thing. If you have a smoker or a Weber kettle, works great for this. And the kettles are still made in America, so you can buy them.
Right.
But beef ribs, I highly recommend trying on wood. If you've never done them before, don't be afraid of them. A lot of people are afraid of them. I mean, worst case scenario, you won't like them. They'll be too tough. And you can put them in a little beef broth, cover them up, throw them in the oven for an hour, and just moisturize them and tender them up a little bit. They'll be wonderful. But highly recommend just getting some beef ribs, having your butcher cut them individual ribs, if you can, or at least three ribs to a section, full bone, long, and put a nice rub on them, and put them on maybe 275, 250, good smoke for a couple hours, and let them roast for 6 hours or so, and then wrap them in some butcher paper, and just let them finish
why
off.
Why butcher paper and not foil? Other than I know you don't like foil, but what does the butcher paper do when you wrap them? Because it's not an airtight wrap, is it?
Well, it's kind of airtight, but it slows the moisture.
Evaporation?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a guy that really loves a good beef rib, but I'm also the guy that hasn't perfected that yet. So is the wrapping the key? Because they're either tough or they're overdone. It seems like every time that I've tried to do them. And so you're saying 250 to 275, six to seven hours.
I think the key to those is slow.
Okay.
I don't think it's like a brisket where you can do fast and furious.
And how do I
don't like fast and furious brisket anyway.
Right.
It's okay. Yeah. But I think barbecue is supposed to be relaxed. So I don't want to be all uptight and watching everything, unless I'm feeding a few hundred people, and then you're just going to be uptight.
Right.
But the average guy listening out there is not going to have to feed a few hundred people.
Right. So how do you know when that's done? Maybe that's where I'm missing it.
Okay. Just plan on 5 or 6 hours. And after 3 or 4 hours, take a peek at them and grab your tongs and try tugging a little piece off it. If you can't tug a little piece off, even on the corner, leave it in. And then you'll get to a point where you'll say, okay, they're looking really good. The meat has shrunk back from the bone a bunch. And that's why I like cutting them up into individual ribs, because then everybody can have one if you really like them, because they're pretty big. It's a Fred Flintstone piece, right?
Right.
And you got that bone sticking out, so you got a great handle. I have a vision of you in Kansas City when we were at the American Royal.
Right.
You had your very first one.
It was done professionally.
You were walking around like king for the day. We had to put a crown and a cape on you.
And right.
You were,
a bib.
You were.
Because I was eating the hell out of that thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, and I do. I love them. And there's not a lot of seasoning you need to do on them.
You don't need much.
You let the meat do the work.
It's a really wonderful chuck flavor that happens in the front end of the animal. And I just ordered a quarter of a beef. Monday, I went up to Big Rapids and met a buddy of mine, Air Force buddy, high school buddy, and then a couple other guys from up there. One guy has this place in Rogers Heights. It's called the Guitar Hospital. His name is Brian Gallup. And if you're into guitars, they teach kids. This thing's turned into an institution. He runs 20 people through there at a time in this giant classrooms with all this woodworking equipment. They teach you how to build a guitar. This guy
is world. Guitar or an electric one?
Everything. He is world renowned. So we went up there, and Doug Singalob met us there, and he's got a big farm by where I grew up, and I told him I was about out of beef from the last one I bought, and he said, hey, I got a quarter left. You can have it. And I said, great.
Yeah.
Put my name on it. Well, you can buy it, I think is what you said.
Right, yeah. Well, that's because it's good beef. So let's talk about the merit of keeping your grill clean.
I think of the last tailgate we did where we brought – I think cheesy potatoes or something really yellow, and we had your smoker, and when we pulled the pan out, we didn't realize that all that black stuff on the lid of the smoker, on the roof of it, was going to come raining down on our beautiful, was it cheesy potatoes?
Yes, it was.
Or something?
Yep. We made a big pan.
Oh my gosh.
A full pan.
We were mortified.
Of potatoes And from opening and closing the lid, and you let it slip maybe once, and it goes bung up against the front. Well, it shook the smoker enough that it rained black sediment, which is, that patina is good. It adds flavor. It really does. I don't ever power wash my grill and degrease them or anything. But in that particular case, we didn't have them covered.
Maybe you will now.
Right. And we didn't have them covered. And at one point, we must have lost the door and let it slam shut or something.
Well, in a smoker like that, when you're going to be using that, and it's a, you know, if you're not using soap, there's nothing wrong with, and I've got your power washer. You're welcome to take it back.
It's ours. We contributed parts to it.
There's nothing wrong with power washing, especially a big one like we've got. We each have different ones, but you have to actually – get the roof of that thing or it's going to get you. And we learned a good lesson there that day.
Right.
It got us. And I remember the angst of looking at the beautiful, you had made up a beautiful big, and I love cheesy potatoes.
Yeah.
And seeing all those flies in it, looked like a bunch of black flies.
Yeah.
So yeah, cleaning the inside of your smoker, you can do it with several ways, but if you have a power washer, by all means, if it's a big enough smoker, hit the inside of that just a little hot water and then clean out your grease traps and all that stuff.
Right.
Power wash your racks. Now, mine are all stainless, so they clean up really nicely, and they have a lot of flesh on them. When you do a lot of stuff,
yes, they do.
You can have some nasty stuff, and I'll guarantee if I open mine right now, there's a bunch of chicken pieces in there that I did not clean yet, but right. I'll be power washing it this week because I'm heading up to that Reed City Bash for the 30th, and I do not want any surprises on my food.
Well, no, and you don't ever want to get anybody ill because you won't hurt your stuff.
But you won't hurt a thing by cleaning the inside. Do not use soap. You'll get that patina right back.
Yep.
But by all means, make sure you get some of the bacteria and some of the stuff out of there.
So when we're cooking in the new clean grill, marinating is something that we do a lot of to add a flavor profile to a piece of meat. And simple chicken and simple beef marinades, you can find these on thegrillingguys.com, but we're going to highlight a couple of them.
Here's a nice one. I actually stole it from the interweb, and I, of course, played with it. But it's like four or five pieces of chicken breasts, or you can use beef if you want, some extra virgin EVO from Old World Olive Company, half cup of soy, six rosemary sprigs, four cloves of garlic smashed, and it's really simple. These things don't have to be complex.
So you've got oil, rosemary, garlic, and there was a fourth ingredient there, or did I? No.
Rosemary, soy.
Soy, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get a little salty profile from the soy. The rosemary, nice aromatic.
Beautiful.
Yep.
I love it.
Garlic, obviously, that's a staple in my kitchen.
Yep, so you season the meat and let it set for 30 to 4 minutes so the seasoning sticks to it, and that seasoning is going to be salt and pepper. And then you you let it make sure it's thawed to room temperature before you cook it or bring it up to room temp.
Right.
And be careful with chicken.
You don't want to marinate frozen meat anyway. You need it thawed out.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily need to be at room temperature, but when you're taking it to the grill, if it's at room temperature, you're going to get a lot better result.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially cool. So you and if they're bone-in chicken breasts, you know, you'll get that bone section nice and cooked, and that's a big deal.
Now, not sure what Oysters Rockefeller and a Caveman Steak by Steve Raiklin have in common, but we're going to figure it out. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's garrettsappliances.com, garrettsappliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hey, it's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Thanks for tuning in. If you're just joining us, you've missed a little bit of a fun ride. We're actually having a good time this morning, Bob. We're just kind of bouncing all over. And
there's not even a brewer here.
Right. I know it.
To my chagrin.
Yeah, this is a non-alcoholic show this morning. But anyway, we were going to touch a little bit on seafood and particularly oysters. And this is something that I think almost the most important thing you can do with an oyster is make sure you get a fresh one, right?
I don't know. I used to say that.
Yep. Well, in my opinion,
until Bob Dubisky gave me some frozen ones.
Really?
Yeah. And that's my whole point of this thing, and I should have mentioned that to you. I'm not wanting to contradict you, but I would have always said that, and then Bob gave me some frozen ones. And I got to tell you, I kind of held my nose. I'm like, I don't know. I know he's a seafood broker, right?
Right.
So I don't want to hurt his feelings. He was right. And I have a bunch in my freezer. You are going to eat some. Not today, unfortunately. Wow. But
you got me all wanting one.
You can get these. I think he sells them to like Meijer, okay. To be honest with you. But you can check in freezer case. You can find frozen oysters. But I agree, absolutely. Fresh ones would be the best.
Right.
I think it's hard to get if you're not on the east or west coast. Yeah. You got to really be on the east coast to get fresh oysters.
Super fresh, right. You get them jet fresh here in Michigan. They're a day old, you know, and that's if they've been handled properly. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple fishmongers here in our city that do a really good job with
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, have you bought them there?
Yeah, yep.
And they're good?
Yeah, there's a place called Fish Lads. We've had them on the show before,
right.
And they do a really good job. They had a couple stores here in town, and the reason I said that is the store that's over by me where I live, I just had some Wednesday night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they had them for a buck a shell
kind
of thing they were selling, and yeah,
holy
it was really
cow.
Good. Michelle doesn't care for them, you know. It's a
perfect.
Texture. Yeah, right. It's a texture. So guess that dozens me. Yeah.
I got a PB&J for you.
Yeah. Right.
So I agree, fresh are the best. But this whole reason I chose this recipe is because I have some frozen ones, and I'm going to try this. And this is not a new recipe. I've made this, but never with frozen oysters. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's a great way for. I've got a bunch of frozen oysters. It's a great way to use them. And have you ever made oysters, Rockefeller?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever eaten them?
Yes, I've eaten them, but I've not made
them.
Do you
like them?
But I just like the raw ones, right? And you put a little lemon on there and a little cocktail sauce.
So you had oysters, Rockefeller, once, and the guy didn't do them right, so you just said, screw it?
It was in a restaurant, I'm sure. You know,
there used to be a place in Louisville called the New Orleans House.
Okay.
And it was 25 bucks, I know. There's two of them. And 25 bucks, it's all you can eat seafood.
Oh.
And this was back in the 80s. So it was pricey.
So it's 100 now.
Probably.
Yeah.
If they're even open. But they had a giant table full of oysters, Rockefeller, and they did them up well. And this recipe is a copy of what they used to do. So I think it's really good. It's a little different than some people. If you research oysters, Rockefeller, you'll find, as like with anything, there's all sorts of little variations and somebody says, oh, you can only do it this way or you
right.
can only do it that way. But this one is going to call for some garlic and freshly chopped spinach. Now, you might, depending on where you live, have a little tough time finding the watercress. If you can't find it, you can use chopped up green pepper and some green onions. It's going to need some butter at room temp. Some Progresso breadcrumbs, that's the brand I like anyway. A shot of Pernade, which is an anise-flavored liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
And you can substitute that with something else if you wanted
to. And you're making a batch of these. This is not for
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah, you're right, going right, to make right, a batch.
Yeah, yep.
So, this will be a recipe for like a dozen. which would be a good trial run.
Right.
And then I'll put this on the website, or I'll have our web guy do it. But this got hot sauce, fennel, rock salt. You lay these shells on rock salt on the pan. And I'm going to do it in the smoker because I want to smoke them up a little bit.
Sure. And they take smoke very well.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
Beautifully. Because on top of it, you're going to top it off with fresh Parmesan.
Okay.
And some guys throw a blend of cheeses on. Some of them are really cheesy on top. I just like it, just a nice little touch of cheese so you can actually taste the oysters. You'll see a picture of these on thegrillingguys.com sometime Saturday. It's called Oysters Rockefeller. It's a fantastic way to serve oysters should you want to have something at your backyard party that you did on your smoker that you can bring out for that wow effect.
Right.
This, who serves you Oysters Rockefeller? I mean, you don't even see them in restaurants very much if right. you're a Midwesterner.
Right.
You know.
Yep. And with the frozen product, you can take it with you.
Very affordable.
Now, you're not going to want to thaw this out and do this tomorrow. You're going to want to thaw it out and do it and use them. Right? I mean, yeah. They aren't going to hold in your refrigerator for 3 days after they've thawed out.
No, you want to thaw them and use them.
Right, yeah.
And typically when you get these, you'll get the shells all together, and then the oysters are in a frozen block. So what you have to do is you have to thaw that block of oysters out first, just in the fridge for a couple of days until you can see that they're breaking up. Cut it open, rinse them off, rinse your shells, place each individual oyster on a shell, and reassemble.
Take them home. Yeah, right.
And this is a great recipe. If you don't think you like oysters, by the time you try this, you're gonna probably change your mind because there's just enough extra goodness. You once told me, I think, that you did not like escargot.
Right, I don't. It's the thought of it. It's just the thought of it.
You know,
snails, man.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe Oysters Rockefeller was created by someone in New Orleans, and I can't think of the name of the restaurant anymore. It's a famous place. I was there a few years back. But I think it was created there, and I believe the legend is that this was come up with by somebody that could not get, there was like a shortage of escargot, and there was a regular on their menu, and it was hurting them. So they came up with this, and they called it Rockefeller because it's so rich, and he was the richest man at the time. It's turn of the century.
Right.
And he was the richest man in the country at the time, and this was so rich that, you know, somebody made a comment about that, and right. It just stuck.
Sure.
But sometimes kind of cool to find these little backstories, but if you have a better story than that, hit us on Facebook /TheGrillingGuys.
Or the real one.
Yeah. Because that's the best I could do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You had me.
Yeah,
most
it's a
of the way.
No, it is. It's yeah. That's the way I remember the story. And I'm sure it was New Orleans.
Stick to it.
And
it's your story, baby.
I can't think of the name of the restaurant, but you could probably check it out online, maybe Wikipedia or something like that, if you can believe that.
Right. A real man can tell a story. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Yeah, a real man can tell a story, and he can tell man law. Today's man law. Any man that's old enough and is not in the military should at least support the troops. Even if you don't agree with war, they are your countrymen fighting to protect you, and you should show them your support.
You know, that is one of the easiest things to do.
No brainer.
It's an absolute no brainer. I have not served our country, but those that have, I have the utmost respect for, because they're willing to sacrifice everything so that those of us that haven't been put in harm's way like that can live this wonderful life. And you get a couple knuckleheads like Barbecue Bob. He's a veteran. I'm not, but we get to do this stuff.
Yeah, but right? You support the troops. You've helped with the GI Barbecue.
Right.
I'm sure you're very respectful to every veteran you see, probably more so now that you've gotten involved with GI Barbecue because you've had more exposure to the grunt life.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
Those people pay the price. And just like the rest of our first responders, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a special agent in the FBI, and I still have a picture of him in a faraway country, donned in black on top of a mountain with a really cool little machine gun with about 15 of his troops with him. And those people were in harm's way.
That isn't on terrorists. TV, baby. That's the real deal.
No, yeah. That's the real deal.
Yeah.
And if you've never heard a bullet whiz by your head, good for you.
Right. Yeah. You never want to do that. Coming up next, we're going to close the show with a thing called a caveman steak. If you are getting ready to go on your little 4th of July camping trip, you're not going to want to miss this, because if you bust one of these out at the campfire, you're going to get noticed. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
More cowbell. You know where to track down your tender on the hoof when you got a cowbell working for you. But you listen to Grilling Guys. We're going to bring this train to the station. But before we do that, we want to talk about a summer tradition, because this has everything to do with the campfire. And if you want to impress your buddies at the campground, you got to do this. We're talking caveman steak.
Yeah.
Take it away, Bob.
Yeah. And you can check out a good video of one of the guys I've learned a lot from. His been on the show. His name is Steve Reichlin, and it's R-A-I-C-H-L-E-N, I believe.
Yep.
And he's a fellow that I got to meet in the industry at an HPBA show, and he's been on the show. He's written several books. He's got Barbecue U. He's got a line of spices that he sells, and he's just very knowledgeable. He got a summer home on Cape Cod.
Yes.
I think Martha's Vineyard.
Oysters Rockefeller, I would say.
Yeah, so Thurston Howell's probably run into him out there.
Right.
Anyway, Steve has a place out in Arizona that he does a lot of cool stuff with, and that's where he filmed this caveman episode. But basically, you take an inch and a half to 2 inch thick piece of your favorite steak. Now, he does it with ribeye, and you bring it up to room temp. You put a little oil on it, and you absolutely coat it with a mixture of coarse salt and some coarse black pepper. And you put it on there so thick, you literally lay it in there and you pack it on. And you get a nice, right before you're ready to throw on, you don't do that until you get your bed of coals, but use hardwood, get a nice bed of coals, level them off, and then get one of these cheap paintbrushes that's made with horsehair.
Right.
And you take and you brush that gray ash off so you have perfectly...
Off your coals.
Yep.
Right.
Get perfectly red hot coals, and you lay that piece of meat right on the coals, and you leave it there, I'm going to say, about 3 to 4 minutes.
Now, your salt and your coarse salt and pepper are going to...
Has totally coated it.
Yeah. It's thick, so it's going to protect it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
From getting just black charred.
Yeah. Not really.
Yeah.
No, you're going to get black char.
Right.
It's going to be black. But it's okay. What'll happen is, so then you get welding gloves, get your tongs out, pull that baby up, brush another piece clean, flip it over again, and you're going to see it's pretty black. And you're going to go, I don't know about this. Give it another 3-4 minutes based on how you want it. And then pull that baby up with your tongs again and your gloves, and get that brush out, and that's when you brush a bunch of that black off of there.
Right, off because the steak
of
itself.
Because of the salt... And I think this is what you were alluding to.
Right.
It wants to come off.
Yep.
And it's not too much salt. It is, you lay that on a plate and you let it rest about 5 to 10 minutes. And if you like a nice crust on your steak and rare to medium rare in the middle, my mouth's watering like mad right now. It is so phenomenally good. But again, this is when you're blowing people away.
Right.
You throw, first of all, if you throw an inch and a half to 2 inch thick steak on my plate, I'm already blown away.
Right.
You had me at steak.
So let me give you one little accoutrement to that. Is the week before you go to your camping trip, take a stick of real butter, salted butter, and get some crumbled blue cheese, mix it up in a bowl, roll it up in a little log with some wax paper, and put it in your fridge. And when you get that steak off the grill or off the fire like that, while it's resting, take two or three medallions, slice it with your knife, and stick them on top of that steak.
Yeah, and even if it's unsalted butter, you'll be okay with this steak because it's going to have a nice salty crust to it.
But that little that butter blue cheese mix is a great, great addition to the steak. But you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Hey, if you're out and about, be safe and create some grill envy in your neighborhood.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys. Check out thegrillingguys.com. I'm on Twitter, Grilling Guy. I don't speak louder than words, and I'm a man.